Welcome to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I am your host, Mia Moran. Moms have the power to change the future, one meal at a time. The Plan Simple Meals podcast is for busy moms who want to create a healthier, happier home. Listen in for informative conversations and valuable strategies to make meals healthy, meaningful, and fun. Let's do this. Hey, busy mamas, it's Mia here. Welcome to this episode of the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I'm actually podcasting from the road today. I'm in Denver, Colorado, on the first leg of this book tour. So you might be hearing this a little farther into the book tour, but that's where I am. And on the line, I have Courtney Wyckoff, who is a certified personal trainer and corrective exercise specialist. And she has tons of experience in this field, 14 years in fitness, nutrition, and injury prevention. And more recently, though, she's created this amazing business called Mama Strong. I never know how to pronounce that, but it's M-O-M-M-A Strong. And so I'm so excited to dive into this conversation, because if you go to her website, you can see that she is just full of amazing energy. So welcome, Courtney.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So tell us a little bit about your, so first of all, who do you have? You are a mom, obviously, because that's how you got into all this. So who are you a mom of? How old are they?
Let's see. Ella is 10. She just turned 10. And Ren is 5, and she just turned 5.
So. Oh, great names. And I have a 10-year-old girl, too.
Ah, you
get it. So I totally get it. In fact, she's the one who might barge in here at some point during this conversation. She has many opinions at this point in her life.
Yes, I do.
All right. So tell us a little bit about sort of your journey in the fitness world and how, when you became a mom, you sort of tapped into this need that moms were having and what that looks like.
Sure. So I was actually a professional ballet dancer for most of my life. And I retired due to an injury, and also because I just needed to exit that world for a while. And then, you know, after that, of course, I went into Pilates, because that's kind of the cliche thing that all dancers do.
Yep.
Partly because we understand human movement, and, you know, we need a job, and our resume as core dancer doesn't really work too well. So I became a Pilates teacher and jumped in. Fortunately, had some really good teachers along the way, and, you know, was really busy and successful in my Pilates career. But even before kids, I was noticing this common problem, especially amongst women, that they were dealing with a lot of sciatica and back pain, and just not a lot of the results that Pilates had promised. But I kind of blamed the women before I had kids, and I thought, well, I just need to teach them this way or do it that way, or they're doing something weird at home. I didn't really know. And then after I had Ella, I suffered from severe back pain. Couldn't even lie down flat on my back, terrible sciatica, degenerative disc disease. I mean, the list goes on, and nobody could help me. Mm. And I lived like that for, you know, 5 years, and then had Ren. And after Ren, it was even worse. And but I had C-sections with both of them. Mm. And, you know, after Ren, I suffered from postpartum depression and was just in a really, I think, dark time in my life. And along with that was in severe pain. And it was frustrating because everything I had been taught wasn't working to help me. I went to tons of experts and nothing was working. I thought, this is just so strange. Like, why can't we fix this? Why can't we deal with this? So I think in a bit of desperation and also curiosity, I dove into the books and started researching what exactly was going on with my pelvis and with my back and what I might be doing wrong from the lens that I had been given through Pilates and other core training, what wasn't working, and discovered that, you know, we do a lot, Pilates and other work really teaches a lot of flexion, meaning like forward movement to engage the abdominals. And I started to develop this theory and idea that maybe we needed to do all of our core strengthening in extension. And lo and behold, within 2-3 months of starting that sort of research, my back pain resolved.
Wow.
Which is a big deal.
That's a huge deal. I mean, it's funny because I didn't experience that. I definitely experienced a little bit during pregnancies, but after kids, I didn't feel that so much. And, and I had my kids in my late 20s, early 30s. So, and where we live in Boston, I kind of feel like that was young. I know it's not
Yes.
everywhere in the world, but I don't know. As a parent in my oldest class, I'm definitely among the youngest.
Yes.
And but now I feel like I'm deaf. It's funny, like I've turned 40 and I feel it. Like I'm feeling, you can see how weight differently adds onto your core post
Oh,
kids.
yes. Yep, for
And
sure.
you can feel, like I feel it differently in my back. So I'm so excited you exist because I'm ready to alleviate that.
Yeah, no, and back pain, we all kind of, think it's just, a pain, or it's just some a nuisance in your life, or a lot of women kind of decide it's just something they're going to have to deal with. But what I know from back pain is that it creates a stress to the nervous system. And so, we can leave it isolated to just pain in the back, but really it's creating a disruption in the entire function of the nervous system. And that's so important to deal with.
And it's so related to the core. I think we don't always realize that either, right?
Oh, yeah. The core and the glutes and your mid back are really the three anchor points that I've discovered.
So I feel like a lot of the thing, I'm over on the food side, and it's funny because my story is very similar to yours, except with food. Like as you were talking, I'm like, oh, that's just what I had to do. No one was listening to me, and I had to go do all this research, and I figured it out. Which I'm assuming is the position that a lot of people end up in, because our medical system doesn't necessarily service like the wellness part of all this. So, what are a couple things that, m maybe not even as a new mom, but just as a mom who sort of maybe hasn't done all the core work, like what are some things that we can do on a regular basis? To help that, and to
I
keep our
think,
core strong.
I think it's a few things. I think one is most of us actually go into pregnancy too strong in the wrong ways. So it's making sure that we begin to develop strength across the back line of the body. So life nowadays, because we're sedentary, no, I mean, we sit more. I wouldn't say we're sedentary. We're very busy. But because we sit a lot more and we drive a lot and we're bent forward quite a bit more, the front line of our body kind of takes over for all movement and stabilizing. And that's a big problem. And so we go into pregnancy strong, but strong in the wrong way.
Got it.
And then a lot of people, okay, so your posture is bent forward, things like that are bent forward. And then we go and strengthen ourselves in a bent forward way as well. And so what I suggest is that anything you're doing, even before having babies, really is focused on doing extension work. So this means like planks, but no push-ups. This means some low belly work that is happening without having to do forward flexion with the upper body. And there's lots of ways to do this, obviously. But really focusing on the back line of the body. So the glutes and the mid back, like I'm talking about, and some of the deep abdominal muscles are really the ones to get strong. And it once you're strong in those positions and those places, it doesn't take a lot to start to feel integrated. The body is, to me, an engineering feat. And when things kind of line up in a way that's efficient, everything kind of settles in. It's common sense. And so really working on strengthening glutes, mid back, and the deep abdominals are key. The other one that I find that women don't really understand is that our pelvic floors need to be strong, but they need to be elastic. So we've kind of been taught that doing Kegels is enough and that holding a Kegel for a long period of time is kind of like some gold standard of pelvic floor strength. And I actually have found that that creates significant weakness in women. And
Interesting.
that's because the pelvic floor is designed to be strong like a trampoline. So it has to come and go. It has to be resilient and elastic, and that's a healthy pelvic floor. Now, if we train it to be static and to hold a Kegel for a long period of time, we're actually training it in the exact opposite way. We're training it to be very stuck and very static. And that creates a lot of problems in the female pelvis. So I think those two things, back line of the body and making sure that the pelvic floor is being strengthened in an elastic come and go sort of way.
Okay, so then let's dive into time. Because I know that we talk a lot about that with food and just how on earth do we find the time. And so with exercise, you know, I know for myself, sometimes I'm like, I just need to move, you know? So, and I'm a relatively fit person and, you know, I do this for a living, so I pay attention. But I definitely feel like sometimes I just need a walk or run. Like I need to move. And so maybe a week goes by and I'm like, I haven't done any of that stuff. You know, I haven't done any of that strength stuff. So I guess what is your recommendation for the balance of those two things? And how do you, do you have any, I know that all your work is very sort of, you know, time, you know, you're very aware that people don't have much time. So what are some of your strategies around that?
Well, this is totally hitting the nail on the head in terms of like what irritated me so much about the process of rehabilitating my body. One, I am a mover, just like you're saying. Exertion is so essential to my mental health, to my physical health. And frankly, it's really the only reason I want to exercise. I don't enjoy working out. I don't like the gym. I don't like talking about fitness. It's just not my, it's not my thing. I mean, I really don't like it. What I think needs to happen and what I've created is a way to do all of that at once. So yes, we need the rehabilitation, but we also need the movement. And being able to get dynamic movement while doing rehabilitative work is completely possible. It's extraordinarily rare, as you know. You can either find the programs out there that do, you know, just the rehab work and they're so slow and they take like 12 weeks and you're like, I don't have time for this. I don't want to do this. It doesn't work. It's very complicated. We don't have brain power for that. Or you go into the programs that are like the quick fixes and they don't do any rehab work. So what I said is, how do I put those both together? It's going to be hard because it's going to take a lot of cueing. It's going to take a lot of streamlining from my side of the fence. Like I, as the trainer, I have to get creative about how I can get your pelvic floor working while doing dynamic work. And so that's what I do. I mean, the rehab program that I have is 15 minutes a day and it's only 3 days. And that way, at the end of that, basically you take the tool of abdominal bracing, which is the main rehab component, and then we start to install it into harder and harder workouts, but they're all only 15 minutes. So nothing is over 15 minutes. And the rehab work becomes a continuous sort of language that you're learning rather than some sort of, you know, comprehensive program that you have to do and magically you're healed. So really it's 15 minutes. And in my opinion, you should be able to get it all done in that. You should be able to get your cardio, your strength, and your rehabilitative work done.
Well, that's interesting. And then it keeps going, but in a way that you know what you're doing. So it becomes like habit, right?
Absolutely. Like I also think that we do most of our strengthening outside of the workout. So I'm constantly cueing people for, you know, okay, when you're standing in line, or you're in the car, or you're picking up your kids, or you're sitting at the desk. Like there are all opportunities to continue doing that abdominal work. And it really does begin to change. Just I was talking about the nervous system before, it changes how our nervous system is responding to stress, to life, to adventure, to all sorts of things. And just by adding that in, it's pretty magic what starts to happen to people's lives.
Yeah, that's so cool. I personally can't wait to sign up. I'm feeling it's funny on the it's so much of our work about food at Plan Simple Meals is just really creating like a rhythm and a routine so that yes, it's definitely a little bit more work at the beginning when you're learning about food and how to fit it in, but eventually it just really becomes part of your daily rhythm. But then you know things change and kids get sick and. The cool thing I think about having all this so built in is that then you can just, you know, you get thrown off for a day or two and then you sort of go back into it. And so I have that with food, but I definitely don't have that yet with exercise, as we were talking before. we press record that I've landed and I'm all of a sudden realizing like I'm tired and, you know, it's I'm not quite in my routine and I'm jet lagged and the air here is different. And so I feel like there's so many things as moms that can throw us for a loop, you know, a sick child. And I actually love that your thing sounds like you could even do more with a sick child because you're just home.
Yeah, you're home. And I mean, I really think that one of the things I've run into with women as I've, you know, I've been doing this for four years in the online aspect.
Yep.
And, you know, the thing I run into is that women, like when we're not feeling well, we're told by the world around us to just chill out and take it easy. And we also sometimes kind of put ourselves into a bit of paralysis. We shut down a bit.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting that with women's health, we really kind of advocate that sort of stop and that sort of rest. And I think at the end of the day, you want to teach your nervous system that it can handle stress.
Yes.
And not that you're going to just completely nix it from your life. You want to teach the nervous system that stress isn't necessarily bad. And we do that by making sure the nervous system knows that there's a challenge to be dynamic even under stress. And if you don't teach the nervous system that, then it's not going to do it. But I know that if you tell the nervous system, hey, there might be stress over here, but at the same time, I'm still going to be a dynamic whole woman.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to rise to this occasion. And it's amazing how the body adapts to that and focuses in on that when you just give it that challenge. But I think it's almost essential.
Yeah, and I love that because it's so true. Like I'm quite infatuated with the work-life balance conversation, but I don't know that it really exists in the same way for, you know, there's never downtime as a mom. You know, and yes, we have to take care of our bodies and sleep well and drink enough water and do all those, you know, and we do need to know how to take breaks. But a lot of people, I get the comments I get a lot, and I'm assuming you do too, is, you know, how do you do it all?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it is just how you, the tools you have to be calm in a stressful situation. And both food and exercise are amazing tools in those situations, which can sound like extra work, but that little bit of extra effort just does take you through stress in such a different way.
It does.
And so it's funny. I've never thought about that. I've always thought that but maybe it is learned behavior that your instinct in a stressful situation is to want to rest and to want to eat bad food. You know, I feel like that's what we're drawn to.
Yeah. And I think that's just patterning. We learn that from watching our role models as kids, from the media and from things like that, but also really how we treat women and women's health. We still, as far as we've come, we still look at the female composition as being pretty fragile.
Yes.
And it's not at all. It's the total opposite. In fact, I think our bodies are the most resilient. And under stress, they can really do incredible things. I mean, you think of some of the situations in which babies have been grown and birthed.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible what the female body can do. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's just learned behavior to take a rest. And I think actually the place to take a rest is often in other areas of life, not in the fitness or the nutrition.
Yes.
I read something by Brene Brown recently. It was like a really old blog, and she was talking about how she'd been sober for 13 years and her sobriety had a lot to do with eating as well. And she was going through something very stressful during a hurricane here. And a friend was like, you know, you've got all this stuff going on. Why don't you just let up on the food stuff and just take a chill pill and just go for it? And her reaction was like, yeah, she's totally right. Like, I need to chill out. And then she thought, no, this is the way I stay authentic. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a good reframe. It was like, hang on to the things that keep you authentic. And for me, that's exercise and my health. I have autoimmune diseases. I have to be very careful. But, you know, it's tempting to kind of blow off steam or to kind of say, screw it and treat yourself with comfort stuff. But I don't know, food and exercise definitely for me are ways that I stay authentic in life.
Yeah, I totally, totally relate to that. And for, it's interesting though, because it sounds like you have always had that exercise part that was maybe thrown off a little with when you had your children. But for me, I didn't know the food part. Like I had no idea, until just after three kids, I had gained 85 pounds in my pregnancies.
Oh, wow.
And they did,
Oh,
I didn't
wow.
lose them. Like, and
Yeah.
it was just, I feel like the thing about food and exercise is it's like the cumulative effect. Because as you say, our bodies are strong. So they can
Yep.
take a lot of crap, you know, they can
Yep.
take us abusing them. But at some point, you know, we get disease or we get the weight. And, you know, I always tell people, I think the weight was a blessing because it was like, I had like, that was like an outward thing that I didn't
Yeah.
want on me. Whereas I think there's a lot of beautiful skinny people in the world
Yeah.
who it's affecting them on the inside.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so I don't even know where I was going with this story, but I just think that it's, you know, and so when I figured out how powerful food could be, I did it for the weight, but then all these other things, you know, all these quote unquote diseases that I didn't even know I had
Yeah,
healed.
exactly.
And
Exactly.
so often I think it's just peeling off those layers of the onion and figuring out, you know, how you're supposed to be. Because I think a lot of us walk around not understanding what it means to feel 100% authentic, like you're just saying, and 100% good and real, because
Yeah.
we're just part of the society that hasn't necessarily honored that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely not.
So tell us, and do you do anything like, so as a mom, can we talk a little bit about kids? Like, do you have
Sure.
thoughts on that and fit and ex and fitness and how we're dealing with, you know, bringing up kids, you know, and especially daughters, because I know we both of us have two girls as part of our, I have a boy too, but like, so how can we raise these girls so that they have, you know, maybe more tools than we did.
Yeah, you know, this is a very, to me, it's a very interesting subject and very important when it comes to girls. I really do think that and boys too, actually, because they're learning about women through us. But I think it's twofold. One is that, very interestingly, I think the way we move and the way we strengthen our bodies is actually a nonverbal communication to our kids. So I will see, a woman, and she has terrible posture, and she has this back pain going on, and she'll say to me, "My mom had the exact same thing, and my mom ended up with a hunchback, and I think it's just genetic." And I've seen that so many times. I'm like, I just don't believe that the body works exactly like that when it comes to our structure. There's some things like scoliosis, right? But I've just noticed that a lot of this is nonverbal communication. And just like we acquire the English language far before we can actually communicate it, we acquire a language of posture, of movement from our mothers. And
Interesting.
so I think, like, one of the things I teach is how to hold yourself in a powerful posture, which is really just a properly aligned spine. And most of us hold ourselves in a bit of a fetal position, slightly, by curving our pelvis under and dropping our sternum. And that's very much of a protective mode. And I think, as the animal that we all are, a lot of us as women especially are a bit in protective mode. And our children from an early age learn that non-verbally. They see that posture just like any other animal in the wild would notice that about their mother. And that
Interesting.
communicates something to them, which is like, hey, you gotta protect yourself. You gotta, don't be too big. Don't be too powerful. There's a communication with posture that is non-verbal. And then there's the communication that is verbal. And what I hear a lot of women say to their daughters or to other people is like, I have to work out today. I really don't want to, but I need to be good. Or
Yes. We do the same with food.
we do the same with food. And so, I have drilled it into my kids verbally that I exercise so that I can move and be active and take on adventure. And that is, it's about function, 100% about function.
I
And
love that.
it's a little tricky because I am thin naturally and athletic naturally, and I've been that way my whole life. And my daughter will actually say to me sometimes, like, you're really skinny, or you're really muscular, or I can tell that she's paying attention to that. And all I say to her is like, this is the package I came in. I don't exercise to keep that way. This is just me taking care of myself, and this is where my body landed. But I like to talk about what I do with my strength rather than how it looks. And they get it. They get it. But I do think the nonverbal piece is the one that we ignore. And you can't fake that to a kid. It's like telling a kid to speak a certain way when, you know, they've acquired a totally different slang language. You know, like, you have to be able to have that nonverbal communication going on as well.
I love that thing about this is the package that I came in. That is just like, I hope everyone hears that and takes that in. Because as having two girls myself, it's amazing. First of all, they're completely different in their shape and sizes. And, you know, they're different than I am too. And
yeah.
I can watch them seeing each, you know, there's something about sisters. And, you know, you can see them like sort of that whole girl behavior of sort of checking each other out. And I just feel like it's so important as moms to really just take that part, you know, as much as we can take that part away, and help them just be people instead of be part of, you know, that how it is on the outside isn't how it is on the inside.
Yes. And you know, the fact that you said that is so true. And I think as women, we are more judgmental and more analytical of each other's bodies than like anybody else. So if I'm at the grocery store, I notice that more women are checking me out and looking me up and down than men. And I really think that's a very strange, it's a strange experience, right? But I do think if we can pay attention to that and we can shift that and go, you know what, I know this is happening. This is not something that I want to do. This is something I learned. It's learned behavior and I don't need to do that. And instead really be supportive and change that one behavior. I think it would start to really alter how our kids are growing up and how they're feeling just in the world in general about being objects and all that.
Yeah.
It's interesting that it does come from other women and we don't mean to do it. I don't know any woman that would actively say that they enjoy that or that they do it themselves. But if we all get real, we really do. We really do criticize each other inside our heads or feel jealous inside our heads. We feel that way. And to get real about it is the first step.
Yeah. And it's interesting because in our house, the daughter who, you know, she's like more curvy and whatnot and conscious of it, is the one who has a lot of health issues. And we've had to be very careful about her food. So in terms of food, you know, I do this. So I'm trying to have everyone be as healthy as possible, but I also strike a balance because my goal is really to create healthy beings when they go off in the world. So I'm not, you know, I'm definitely not Nazi mom. But we talk a lot about it. And so the one who's just very naturally, you know, strong and in a, you know, in somehow this sounds like you in this skinny, very perfect postured body, actually probably isn't as healthy on the inside. And so I think that that's such an interesting thing that's happening, that we're judging people by the outside, but actually, you know, it's so important to figure out what's going on the inside. And I've seen that over and over again as I've been in this, because once people are really healthy, you know, eating well and moving their bodies become how they're meant to be. And that's not always like Barbie. But you can tell in skin, you know, you can tell because you start to glow. There's all these, and you have energy and like, you can just tell by how people show up that they're healthy. And it's not always what we've somehow have epitomized as the perfect body type at all. Which is so, so fascinating and interesting to me. And just to follow up on your exercise thing, one of the things that I noticed with food was that we always, at the end of a meal, if, you know, I always use Thanksgiving as an example, because at Thanksgiving, it's like this happy holiday for many people, right? Like it's this happy holiday where you're with your friends or your family and you're eating all this food. And the end of the day is like, I've had so much fun and now I need to go take a nap because I feel awful because I've eaten pie and all this stuff. And so somehow over time, we start to associate like those fun moments with feeling awful. So one of the things I started doing because I definitely took on myself before I took on my family was I just started saying out loud when I finished a meal and I felt good, because I don't think we ever do that, you know, and I certainly never heard that. So, you know, whether it's that I ate the food that's making me feel good, or I stopped eating because I realized I was full. And all those things actually helped me as much as I think they were demonstrating for my kids how I was trying to think. Because I would actually think out loud, like, oh, I serve myself too much, and actually, I don't need that right now. Right. Or how cool that I just ate all these greens and feel so great. You know, like we just aren't, we're not consciously thinking those things all the time.
Mm-mm. We are not.
And so modeling is, I think, is just such an important thing with our kids.
Yep.
Cool. Well, gosh, I love all that. And like what a wealth of information that we, I feel like we've given a lot of little doable strategies and tips, which is seems to what, be what happens on these podcasts. So I hope everyone listening takes some of those in.
I need all your tips. I
do. So, well, you sound like you're pretty good. But so tell me, let's tell everybody how, first of all, to get a hold of you. Okay. What's the best way to do that?
Okay, it's mamastrong.com, and that's M-O-M-M-A, strong.com. Mm-hmm. And you can sign up right there. It's only $2 a month, so 8 quarters. It's worth a trial just to see how it goes, and it's $2 a month all the time. So they get access to all 5 of the programs, which go from prenatal all the way through super advanced. So every phase of motherhood.
That is so covered. Cool.
Yeah. And then there's a great community, a Facebook group, a secret Facebook group once you're a member. And people can also email me at Courtney@mamastrong.com.
So cool. I love that. So I hope everyone listening goes and gives it a try. I am. So I will be in that community in a few days. So the question, and I will put all those links in the description of this podcast so everyone can just go click through. So the final question that I always wrap up with everybody is tell us about a meal that is really important, has been really important to you. And it could be that it was either some aha you had while at a specific at the table, or a food that had an impact on you, but just something that will tell us a little bit more about you and experience with food that you had. And it could have been like last week or as a child.
Let's see. I think fun, like food that feels fun, is something like being able to have healthy food that's fun. So I have celiac disease and Hashimoto's, and I'm a single mom. Sometimes it just does not feel fun. And I got into the habit of making not fun food for my kids. Like I just, ugh. And the other day we had this big taco bar, and I put it on the floor, and we had a picnic on the floor.
Oh, I love that.
Just made it fun, and it was still really healthy. And I noticed, like, okay, if it's more fun, then they're eating more. They feel less pressure. I feel less pressure. And it's just this key aspect of the whole thing, which was there's a way to eat healthy food that's fun. I don't do it enough, but that's really good.
I love that. That's awesome. I have a whole chapter on tacos in my book, so I love tacos. Tacos are a good gluten-free one because we can have the corn tortillas, so I love that.
Yes.
And I have celiac too, actually, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we can bond over that someday. Well, thank you so much for your time. This episode has been amazing. So thank you for being here.
Having me.
You're welcome. So busy mamas, have a fabulous day, and I will see you on the next episode of the Plan Simple Meals podcast. Bye for now. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. If you like what you heard, the biggest compliment you can give us is to share Plan Simple Meals with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review our podcast at iTunes. I absolutely love sharing simple solutions to help busy families eat clean and live well. Visit healthymomsmeetup.com and come join in on the fun. In our free group, you can chat with me and other health-seeking moms, get new recipes and tips, and never be at a loss in the kitchen again. Come join the fun at healthymomsmeetup.com. I cannot wait to meet you there.